Welcome to Solo Travel Adventures, my sisters. Don't let fear hold you back from traveling alone. I want you to gather your courage, listen to inspiring stories, and learn how to travel solo while safely navigating new places from this show. I'm Cheryl Esch, solo travel advocate and travel coach, and I want you to have a transformative experience when you travel solo. So pack your bags, book your flight, and check one more time for that passport. It's time to explore the world. Hello, sister travelers. Well, how would you like to retire early and travel the world? Well, my guest today has done just that, and she's going to share some tips on how you can possibly do that as well. I have Julie Fenn. She's a 53-year-old solo female traveler full-time, and how she's able to travel the world at early retirement was offered to her at age 49. And this was during the middle of the pandemic, and it was one of the biggest decisions to get her off the hamster wheel and go chase her travel passion. So in January of 2022, she bought a one-way ticket to Mexico and left Canada for 5 months to see how she could do this living in a bag. And after only 1 month, she knew this lifestyle was for her. She lives on a very tight budget, so she stays at hostels as well as does homestays through a trusted agency called Trusted House Sitters. And where she goes, she stays at people's homes for free in trade of pet care. This gives her the chance to, you know, go to some wonderful places. She has completed house sits in France, Dubai, Singapore, California, Australia, and when she's back in Canada visiting family, she house sits to offset any expenses. For accommodations are generally 70% of her budget from 2022 to 2023 when she went around the world. She had started her travels that year in Portugal and did the Camino into Spain and then went into France at the Pyrenees, where she house sat with a horse, a dog, and a cat. Then she was off to Turkey, where she got to explore another very affordable country. And after that was United Emirates in Dubai. Then she flew to Bangkok, and she spent 8 months traveling all over Southeast Asia, all of the countries there. When she is looking for a place, she tries to find off-the-beaten-path places, but of course, certainly takes a moment to see some of the touristy things quickly. Last year, she traveled with a large 60-liter backpack and a small carry-on of 30 liters. Presently, she is in Australia with only a carry-on of 40 liters. She likes to keep her load light and manageable because traveling this way isn't for everybody, though, and staying in hostels isn't for everybody. But for her, she loves the challenge and being able to save on expenses where she stays. She often meets lots of people in the hostels, and she feels like maybe the mom to some of the younger folks, but enjoys hearing the stories. And she's met a lot of older ladies as well. So there's great ways to travel the world, retire early on a budget. So let's hear the conversation I have with Julie Fenn today.
Well, hi, Julie. Thank you so much for being here today. I so certainly appreciate you taking the time to be on my podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's really a pleasure to join you.
Yes. Well, you have been traveling for several years now. We'll get into some of that, but can you maybe go back and share, did you have a travel passion before you started this, I don't know, was it 3 or 4 year journey that you've been on?
Yeah.
That maybe kind of got you to this, you know, point where you're like, I need to travel, right? You know, is there something in your background, maybe as a child, something that kind of sparked your interest in travel?
Yeah, definitely. It was, when I think about that, I was raised as a traveling child. Ah. My parents were We cycled all over Europe when I was really young. Like 6 years old was the first time I went. I just sat on the back of my dad's bike.
Wow.
And then we went again. I would be tandem two-seater with my dad. Mm-hmm. And then I graduated up to my own bike. But they had a... We had a bicycle business, and that was my parents' passion to, we didn't have a car. They were kind of Tree Huggers Pollution Probers. So we had this bicycle business and we traveled. That was our holiday. That was our summer holidays. And we traveled Europe quite a bit. And I'm from Canada. So we did a lot of Canadian and like Eastern United States, Vermont. And a lot of times it would be, my dad was a bicycle racer. So we would ride to my dad's races. It wasn't a thrill for me because I didn't really care to go watch the races. I'd play in the creeks, but we would cycle to. So I seen a lot of traveling. I knew how to read a map as well, which is one thing that is really important when you're a traveler. Now, as a kid, I was just wanting to get to the end point where are we stopping tonight. So I really, really recalled how to use a map. If there was a river, that means it's a downhill, and if it's a, there'd be an uphill. And so that was really how I kind of learned how to read maps. So it was really my parents, which I of course I didn't appreciate it at the time, right? I was like so young, and lots of stories came out of that I remember that I still talk to with my dad. But that was my kind of beginning, though maybe the travel passion didn't come when I was reaching like time to pick a career, you know, 17, 18, I wanted to be a flight attendant.
Okay. And, so did I.
And, and I thought, well, I could travel and go to places kind of for free. And I was never afraid of flying because I was used to it as a kid. And I didn't get into that field. I think like I'm 6 feet tall. I felt like maybe I was too big for that role because they wanted smaller people, it seemed, or my perception anyways. And there wasn't a lot of money, you know, kind of being talked about in the travel industry. You had a really, really, it was hard to make decent money in the travel, in any kind of travel career. So I just kind of left that be and got into the job that I did do for my 30 years at 19 years old. So that was, that kind of was kind of locked me in.
Yeah.
I started having a mortgage and I started having car payments, and it was a pretty well paying job. It was a factory job building vehicles and I had a good benefits and I had, you know, a good pay. Holidays were okay. Living in Canada, we had, you know, okay holidays, two weeks mandatory at the beginning, but I think I had about seven, eight weeks holidays by the end of my kind of time there.
Okay.
And my time away from there was more important than any overtime that I would get. So my last 10 years working in the factory, I really pushed, I would bank my hours and get time away and keep traveling. When I was married, my husband, he wasn't interested in traveling at all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been divorced 16 years now, and immediately I started traveling, you know, on my own. Yeah. It was sometimes with friends, and sometimes it was just like resort holidays, which to me is, it's fine and all, but it doesn't use my mind enough. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I needed to learn more about the culture. I loved about the culture and the history and the foods and the language and kind of why I do what I'm doing now. And meeting other travelers, which I do definitely the way I travel. In resorts, you're mostly meeting the same people as back home.
Yeah.
But it's a nice chill. It's a getaway from your work.
From the
work time.
So you had this conventional life for almost 30 years, you said you worked in the factories. So like you said, you had mortgage, you had everything that what we call the American dream, right? You know, or Canadian dream, right? And now you're living a very different lifestyle. And I know there was a little something that perpetuated that. It was the pandemic, right? Got laid off. And so tell us about, you know, that little like spark that got you started, you know. Tell us about how that started and then where you've gone. You've been traveling for what you said, 4 years, right?
No, it's just been over 2 years full time.
2 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Full time.
So when the pandemic happened, when I was in my work job, I didn't plan to retire at the, I retired at 49. I thought I'd work till 55. I didn't really know. I didn't have any future plans really. I thought, oh, this in a distance, you know, this is my routine. I'm on the hamster wheel.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I was amongst my friends. Of course, I made a big community. It was a social community at my workplace. It was like 2,200 people I worked with. I was on the union for union executive. I was getting involved in a lot of things because I wanted to learn. I was a recreation leader for a national union across Canada. Okay. So I did a lot of event planning, which is, again, organizing, which kind of brings me, you know, what I do today, but for myself.
Right.
I picked up a bartending job because I thought when I do retire, I need to do something more than just stop. Even at 55, right? Because I don't think that was healthy. Like, it's a career. I could live another 40 years at 55 or, absolutely, you know, 30 years. So, and so I started doing a little bartending at a, like a local Legion, like a veterans club, and then meeting people. And then I started a dog walking business, pet sitting business, because I noticed that as an issue with my friends having dogs. They go away on holidays, complaining about the kennel life. With the pets. And I said, well, I'll just grab a bag and I'll come live in your home.
Yeah.
And it started as I would still go to work. I'd look after the pets. I would run some dog walks through the day. And, you know, and then I'd go to work midnight shift at night in my traditional job.
Okay.
So I was really staying busy. I was living in Ontario at the time. I never wanted to stay in Ontario when I retired. It was the West Coast. Vancouver Island is where I ended up going because it just a better climate. And my dad lives there and it's beautiful in the ocean and the West Coast.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want any like anchors in a way. So I didn't date in Ontario. I'm a single person and I just wanted to stay busy and be amongst my friends and my kids. I have two kids who are out of the house and they're 23 and 26 and they support my lifestyle now. And they knew I was always traveling when they weren't with me, right? They were with the father. I'd be on a flight.
It sounds like me. And,
yeah.
Same situation.
And a big thing for me is because I was a traveling child. I wanted them to not be nervous of traveling. So teach them how to go through airports. It's the little things. And and their dad is a great, great dad. He just did not like traveling. And the intimidation of flying and airports. And I didn't want them to have that. So I took them traveling by myself. And and like even just to small Cuba and Dominican Republic. And we'd go to Chicago. We'd go to like do kind of not the non-traditional, get them to see other worlds other than their backyard. So, and now they travel on their own. They could do it fine. I have all faith in them.
Same situation.
So when the pandemic happened and they shut down our plant, nobody seen this coming. Right. And I was like, oh, this is horrible. What do I do? I want to see my friends. I have an event. I got a bus trip. I got a golf trip. All these things going on. And when that hamster wheel was forced to stop, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because then I had the time because I was eligible to retire that June. So this was in March. Mm-hmm. And I was no way planning to do it. And then everybody, a friend of mine, she didn't plan to retire as well. And she said one of her best friends had cancer and she died within 3 months. And young person, like in her 50s. Wow. So that was also something that wasn't like, you never know when things can just change in your life, especially for your health. And a big part of that was my mom, she passed away of cancer at 52. And I was encroaching into those years. So, not that cancer, like, you know, you want to live the best life you can, but, you know, time is of its essence. And my dad, who's my biggest ally, said, get out of there as soon as you can. And if you can retire and, you know, get a pension and go and live your life. And I'm like, no, I need more money and I need that money. So we had some good talks and he said, just I actually took a lump sum payment. I didn't take a monthly because of my age, but I have to self-manage it, self-manage my funding. And so I went and talked to, he was kind of my supporter. He says, go live, right? Maybe because my mom died so young.
Yeah.
And, but he's like, you can do it. So I did it. And I pulled the plug and I moved away from Ontario, packed up, purged everything, which was wonderful. I've purged maybe four times since 2020, and it felt great. I just collected so much stuff in at a three bedroom house, and you just collect and collect and collect, and you never see it. It was relieving to get rid of it and donate it. A lot of my friends have some of my things. So I said, oh, you just, borrow,
exactly.
I'm never going to ask for it back, but
they didn't.
I said, no, take my, I used to ride a Harley Davidson. So they took my Harley shirts, which were expensive for me to buy. Right.
Yes.
My gear. Right. Yeah. So now I get to see my old life live on kind of when they wear those things. It's kind of fun. And then I just packed my car and drove out to British Columbia, and in waiting for the pandemic to open up the flights to travel.
Right.
That was my thing. And for the last 10 years of me working, I had been researching how I can travel in retirement, because it's not cheap to travel. Mm-hmm. And when you're retired, you're on a fixed income. How do I do it? And I had looked into house sitting as a way to do it, because your accommodations is 70% of your expenses
when
you're away.
Yes.
Huge chunk besides your airfares.
Right.
Once you're there, you can stay in a spot one time. So I looked into house sitting, and there's lots of different agencies, and I started looking at the benefits of pros and cons of each one. And I found Trusted House Sitters is what I use now. And it's been incredible. And I've been able to travel the world doing it that way. So, and that was my first time going out was in 2022. I bought a one-way ticket to Mexico, and I'm backpacking in my 50s. I packed a 70-liter backpack, which was way too big.
Ooh,
but I
big.
Had to.
Yeah,
it's big. Yeah. It was my first time out, and then realizing, like, I wasn't really. I was staying in one spot a lot of times in Mexico, so 1 month in, and then I'd move, and then 1 month, and I'd have a day pack to do. I realized that the 70 was too big. And then I did, I went to Arizona, where there's a family home. My dad had my car down in Tucson for the winter. It's a newer car. I said, use my car, because car rentals were really pricey. And then when I got to Arizona, I grabbed my car and did a road trip up the California coast, which I always wanted to do.
Awesome.
And I car camped and did it on a budget
did some
house sitting driving back up to Canada. And it was, and I knew right away within 1 month being away, even less than 1 month, that I wasn't going to go back to traditional living in a house. I didn't need things anymore. So, and not to, material. I'm not materialistic. So it was just enough clothes that I can do laundry. I have a few outfits. I've now downsized to a 40 liter bag. My goal was to get into a carry on size, which that's what I'm using now. And I mean, if I need something, I can buy it. If I don't use something, I leave it. And I don't bring favorite things with me, like, the odd thing, like maybe a sweater that's really comfortable or shorts that are really comfortable. But most of the stuff, it's like tank tops and things, because I'm in a climate where I'm in.
It's warm right now in Australia. Yes.
Yeah. Warm climates. I'm trying to stay in warm climates. And then I don't need those bulky items.
Oh,
and I prefer the warmer climate. So, I mean, though it does get down to like 19 degrees Celsius, which is cooler. 19, I'm not sure what that would be in maybe 60s. 60s. So you need to have longer pants, and that's it's adaptable. So living with less is the way. And plus, I'm still backpacking, which I thought when I last year, after I went to Mexico and I went back to Canada, I decided I'm going to go around the world And I did the Camino in Portugal. I had a flight credit for Portugal. So that's kind of why I'm like, I need to go to Portugal.
Yeah.
And I did the Camino, which was another personal challenge.
Yep.
And so I kind of did that at the beginning of my world kind of heading out. And it was incredible. I had blisters and they were painful and it was sleeping in dorms, but you forget all of that because of the community that came out of that. And everybody was so helpful. In the mornings, everyone's getting ready and anybody need, compete or Vaseline, are you seeing everybody getting ready, how they get ready and, the tricks, how are you feeling? Everybody's asking, how are you feeling? And they'll help you out. Here's a poll. I met so many great friends on that, that journey. And then, it was something that it is addictive that I would do again. And I would like to do another Camino. And that was the Portuguese route that I took. Mm-hmm. And then I went to France and I did a house sit in the Pyrenees with a horse and a dog and a cat.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And that, I mean, there's tons of stories even just about that, living in the Pyrenees with this horse, which was quite a character. And then I went to Turkey. I wanted to do Cappadocia, where the balloons are. Mm-hmm. It was just, mm-hmm. I see a picture of something and I want to go there and I Google it. And that's kind of how I designed my travels. And then Dubai was nearby, on the way to Thailand. So I stopped in Dubai and I did another house sit. Again, a very expensive city to get accommodations in. So I did a house sit there and then into Thailand and did Southeast Asia for 8 months last year. And I did house sit in Singapore because, again, another expensive country.
Yeah.
And then
you usually do a back. Other than that.
When it's more like I'm here in Australia right now, which is Western world prices, like Canadian prices. And you're paying like 50 and sometimes 50 American a night for a hostel.
Really?
It's not, it's a little higher than what I thought my budget would be, but it's really the only way to do it. And then I did, my goal was for my 90 day visa to do 45 days house sits. And doing house sitting, you have to apply for them. You kind of have to sell yourself and have a good profile. Having a five-star profile is so important. And I do, I take it really seriously. I love the pets, as much as having the accommodation, but because I miss animals mm-hmm. in this lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so I was able to get 30 nights over four clients in like two in Brisbane and Sydney and Canberra. And I make sure that they know I'm on my way. I'm coming mm-hmm. from another country. Yeah, I know how to travel to get there. That's something else that they have to be able to see and trust that I'm going to show up.
Correct. So yeah, trust that you're going to show up. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I'm on public transportation solely here, which is a little trickier. But Australia has a pretty good transportation route, much better than Canada anyways. And I got 30 nights accommodations. Mm-hmm. in trade of care, and then I hosteled it.
Yes.
Sometimes I would do private rooms at a hostel because that they do have that in most hostels, or I would just do it Airbnb depending on how I was feeling, how much privacy I was feeling I needed, and I do hostels not only for the cost value of I do it because of the camaraderie, the people that you meet in the common areas or in my rooms themselves. Like right now I'm in a room with four women. There's four of us girls from all over the world. We share tips.
Story.
Like you always say, where are you from? Where are you going? Yeah. What have you seen? And it's like-minded people and all wide range of ages. Like it's not just young 19-year-old backpackers, though there is a lot of the European culture, they do go out backpacking in their gap year, like 18, mm-hmm. 19. Yeah. I'm so proud of them. I'm like the proud mom, and because they're doing it. And I really mm-hmm. think it's really, really good for young people to do a little solo traveling.
I agree with that.
And they come into hostels and, they have to cook their own food and find their way around and make social, and figure out what they want to see and budget their money. I don't know how much mom and dad have part to play in that, but they're out here doing it. And like, I'm the mom.
Yeah.
I feel like the mom half the time. And sometimes I had a bit, and I've gone through anxiety dealing with that, where I'm like, nobody wants to talk to mom, but they do. They really do. Like they think I'm cool mom. They want to tell their mom about me. And a lot of them they want to hang out with me even.
Oh, that's
hear
so
some
cool.
Stories.
I love hostels. And like you said, you get to hear stories from other people that you're sharing a room with, or you're hanging out with. I mean, I think it's a great, especially as solo travelers, a great way to, like you said, find some community and just kind of be connected somehow. Right. And
there's usually activities like this one has yoga in the morning.
Oh, wow.
They had music trivia going on the other night, since there's something else I can't remember, but they always will have some activities. There's a wide age in this hostel. I'm actually staying in Perth at a prison. A prison's turned into a hostel, which is second one I've stayed in. It's a great way to see the historical building. There's lots of stories. I don't feel creeped out really. Because they've updated it. They've retrofitted it to be, westernized. I'm not staying in a prison cell.
Exactly.
But it's pretty historical. And I look for that kind of things. I was never interested in history as a kid. It was always geography. And now it's both. And cultural, it's just urban planning. And, this city has better public transportation. Yeah. You have to find your way around and learn the cultures. Yeah. Even though I'm in a Western world now, even when I go into Asia, where do I get my groceries? You go to the market, and I walk to the market, and I only could buy what I can carry and use for a couple of days. And that's kind of how I live. I can cook for myself here. There's a kitchen. If I'm in a place longer than a couple of days, I'll buy enough groceries to cook for myself. Because when I leave, I got to carry it with me.
Eat it up. Right.
So a lot of planning goes into it. Right. And that's like, I've met a lot of older people out traveling, and if you don't learn something new every day and learn something new every day about yourself, then that's when you're going to age quicker. And I learn probably 100 things about myself every day and about the area even more.
Yeah.
And part of that is as I'm aging, I'm 53 now, I want to keep as young and active as I can. And carrying the backpack is, my weight is only 10 kg. So it's not too bad, but I still got to slug it on my back and, climb up stairs or boats, get on boats or get on buses, and your balance is really important. And if I see a hike and I want to get up to the top for a lookout, which I love the sunsets, I have to be at a, and it's rocky and crumbly and you got to watch your step. I haven't had any injuries, but I don't want any injuries, because that would be devastating, hard for me being out here by myself, right? Even though people in the hostels would probably help me out. I have trust in other travelers that we're here to help each other, not lead each other astray. We help each other with good tips. And
I love that. Yes.
Yeah. So balance is really important. Eating healthy. I'm the healthiest when I am away from my car in Canada. As soon as I get back to Canada, I get my car, I get lazy, I go through the drive-thru.
Yes.
And I don't have to use my mind about where am I going to go shop for groceries, because I know the routes. I don't have to. And I enjoy spending time with my family and friends. It recharges me. But I also don't have to think about having to be social. Sometimes I'm not even social, but sometimes I feel like being social. Yeah. And it's but back there, I feel kind of too numb. I don't have to think. It's not a challenge.
Yeah. Really. We need like you said, to stay young, we need to challenge ourselves, not just physically, but mentally too.
Mentally. Yeah. I don't need to read a map when I go back there, because I know the way around. I don't need to shop for a grocery store. Where am I going to eat? Because I, my friends will have me for supper, or I'll go to the grocery store where I know I'll do house sits when I go back to Canada, and I visit my kids and my friends, and I have repeat clients that want me back again. Yeah. Like, when are you coming back? We'll go on holidays.
Yeah.
So that makes awesome. Me feel really good that I do a good job for them. And and it's really rewarding. And the hardest part is loneliness. Ah. That does set in, but I always have a good data plan on my phone. Usually I'm on Wi-Fi right now. I can call people pretty much around the clock. If you know, even to text, I can text somebody.
You get lonely,
you know,
that's what you do.
I get lonely. Yeah. That's what I do. So the biggest thing I miss is one-on-one contact, which I do get, but it's usually people are always transient in these places. So you meet them, you make a friend, well, they leave or you leave.
Yeah.
So you're always can stay in contact. And I've actually been able to meet up with friends again that I met last year in Thailand. I met them in Australia. So that's fun to kind of make those connections again, a little bit more personal. Mm-hmm. But really the loneliness is getting easier and easier because I've been doing this for longer and longer. My anxiety is, you know, going down. I listen to a lot of podcasts, especially about solo female travelers and yours as well. And I listen to that to reaffirm, you know, any hesitations that I have. And I'm like, I do that. Or I meditate if I do get too stressed out or overthinking, you know, when you can't shut the mind down.
Right.
Just I listen to podcasts or music. Or just go be in nature. That's another thing that I see.
Yes. I'm glad you mentioned that because that's often, you know, especially in your case, like you're doing long-term travel, right? You're doing slow travel, I call it, you know, extended travel. And it can get lonely. And there's, you know, women just are not, they're asking other people, what do you do? Like, so to help combat that loneliness. So thank you for mentioning that because that's something I do. I even do it, you know, even though I'm not traveling, if I get lonely at home, like, cause I live by myself, like I'll call or text somebody, you know, just to talk to somebody, call my sister, whatever. Talk. Yeah.
I have a core nucleus of females that really support me. And I tell them my off standard stories that I can't post on social media, but I get to, you know, either vent or tell them about something, you know, that it's like, it's not really for everybody to hear that personal story. And they're there and they're like, there's a core group of maybe five women and they're from back in Canada that they're like, and one in Seattle actually. Okay. And they're all supporting me and they will never say, Julie, don't do it. Right. I mean, I listen to my gut instinct. I believe that because I've kind of purified my life and I don't have any like enemies as far as I know out there. I just feel good about myself. My kids are doing fine. Everybody's healthy. I'm healthy. My gut instinct is my power of should I do this or not? And I listen to that. If I think that there's, it doesn't really feel right. Oh, but I want to do it anyway. You know, the struggle with the head and the heart. I listen to my gut and my gut is, and I do believe, and I'm not religious at all, but I believe it was my mom who's guiding me. Like sometimes I'm like, should I do this? And my gut instincts is like, gives me that reassurance. So because I spend a lot of time in solitude, sometimes I go days without speaking to people, unless it's a cashier. I don't talk for days and days. So, there's a lot of thought time with my own thoughts and that's becoming easier the longer I am because, you know, I have no qualms about it. If I want to, and really, if I want to do something, I can. And I have no one to say, no, I don't want to do that. Or, you know, whatever. Like, it's me, myself, and I take care. I have to, you know, if I'm hurt, I have to take care of myself. If I'm, if I screw up a travel plan, I can't get mad at myself because, you know, nobody's going to, complain to me. I'm not going to complain to myself. I'm like, oh, that was, you know, that was either costly. Any mistake is usually costly. I haven't missed any flights. I haven't missed any transportation. Those are the heavy hitters, but you know, overbooking a hotel, that sometimes happens. And, those are the little tiny mistakes that I have made, but I'm pretty proud that it hasn't cost me too much in any, because I'm pretty thorough. You learn lessons all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't want to repeat those mistakes. So, listening to my gut instinct, having that core group, I talk to my children probably more now that I'm like a 16 hours time difference than when I lived in the same time zone. They're also maturing themselves and living their life. And so that kind of gives me the reassurance that they're okay. And one of the best gifts my daughter ever gave me for Mother's Day, she told me she was proud of me.
Oh,
and, you know, sometimes it's to hear, she goes, I can't buy you anything. But I'm proud of you, Mom.
You don't need anything.
I don't need anything. But exactly. That was like, you always tell your kids, and I'm so proud of my kids to be the young adults that they are, and they're carrying on with their lives and making their own path.
Correct.
I have a really close bond with the two kids now. And, you know, and my dad, he's elderly. So he's the one that I always said, if I had to fly back because of an family emergency, I would. And I come close to that 2 weeks ago when I had both my son and my dad in the hospital, and there was both were quite dire. One was a burst appendix, was my son, and my dad he was in Arizona, and I thought, okay, I'm going to have to cancel the rest of the trip and get but that's part of my budget that I put in, like emergency flight home.
Okay.
It can't get any farther away from North America than Australia. Right. I was ready to do that. So,
well, I wanted to ask you about your budget and how you have, cause a lot of, I'm sure you get asked that, like, aside from, obviously you talked about house sitting to kind of like cut some of those costs, but, you know, 2 years you've been traveling. So how do you budget that? And how do you fund it? I guess is a lot of people, I'm sure, ask you that, right?
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing is I fund it from my pension. In the only way without blowing all my money before I hit 65, because I don't, is live on a budget, live affordably, live in minimal living. And that's the backpack and hostels. Now, when I go into Asia, I can live on about $50 a day, which is, you know, you can live on 15. My budget is about 2000 a month. And that's what I take. That's what I kind of bank on. Well, that's really hard to do in North America or Australia.
I knew
Australia was going to be higher, because when I go to Canada, like, I'm not really doing excursions or anything like that. I'm just visiting friends and, you know, I have my car, I put gas in my car and buying food. I still seem to spend a lot of money when I go, but here in Australia, there's things that I want to see, and those things are going to cost me money. So when I enter into a new country, it's a whole new budget. Like, it's not a whole new budget, but I have to go, okay, what am I expecting this? And I do a lot of research about the cost of living for accommodations and food. And there's some sites that I use to help me with that. Transportation, because I don't have a vehicle. And I figured Australia would cost me three times the price as Asia would be, like a budgeting. And it's averaging out to almost that. So because I did some excursions, I did diving on Great Barrier Reef, which wasn't in my budget. So that cost me an extra amount of money, but it's a once in a lifetime thing. You have to weigh out. And I'm not a tourist everywhere I go, because sometimes I'll go to the parks and just sit in they have beautiful parks here, sit in the park and people watch, go to the river and watch the boats go by, but don't have to go on the boat. Like, look for free. Some of these cities have free transit. Some of the cities have free ferries. So that's my boat ride, is the ferry. So I don't need to. And hiking, being out, being active, just getting lost in a city is my excursion. Street art. Like, I love that. Walking out of these museums. Yeah. Museums here are free. People watching. So I haven't spent a lot of money on excursions here, though I did. You know, there was a few that you have to go by boat. I'm not going to charter a boat for that. So Yeah, that's kind of, so I pulled out more from my funding for Australia, trying to get as many house sits as I could to keep that cost down, right? I took the Greyhound bus as a public. I looked for specials on transportation. I will travel at different times, even for flights. I will take 4 layovers, like to get, I don't mind the layovers because I'm getting out of a plane is, and I have all the time in the world on the other end. I don't have to rush to get someplace. If I have a layover and it's like putting me like 10 hours in a city, you know, I can go and maybe explore that city, or just hanging out at airports is, I love airports. Some of them are really cool. Some are boring, but some are beautiful. And to know that you may not really visit that country, but you've been to the airport is good enough for me. I'm happy with that. And so looking for those cheap flights, watching flights, that's actually my flight that I came here on was half price because I watched and watched and watched. I was actually heading to Thailand, but it had 4 layovers to Thailand from Vancouver. And I was like, what were these layovers at? And one was in Sydney. One was Hawaii, Sydney, Denpasar, and then Bangkok. And I'm like, well, if I stop in Sydney, how much is that going to be? And it was half the price. One day, it was only this one day. Other day was double the price. So I'm like, I'm going to Australia now. So sometimes I will go. Eventually, I was going to do Australia. I'm glad I did it now because I'm hosteling it. You know, it's sometimes tougher. Because you get top bunks, and I've had the top bunk, I'm not going to kick the kids out of the bottom because they got there first.
Yeah, exactly.
So I suck it up, and I go to the top bunk, and I climb down that ladder, and you know, hope I don't fall. But it keeps you strong, and I need good arm strength, and I'm still able. Like I'm not that old, but you know. It's like, it's a grumble, right? And your sleep isn't the best and, you know, you need your sleep. And so I'm glad I did it now. And I made so many friends here. And about making friends is I use a Facebook page called Host a Sister. I've made so many friends on Host a Sister.
That service, I guess. Awesome.
So I posted back in December when I was arriving here. Picture myself, what, where, when, and you know, Canadian solo traveling, my age, and I'm Host a Sister over 50 on that group, and I had an overwhelming response from ladies all over Australia wanting to meet me or host me, and I was okay with my accommodation, like I didn't feel like I needed hosting, but that was gracious that some offered, and. I must have met maybe 12 ladies, and I'm meeting one again on Saturday here, final one in Perth. Yeah. And pretty much every area I met somebody, sometimes two or three, and some were other travelers traveling through, some were Americans traveling through on that page. Hey, let's go for lunch. Oh, let's do a museum together. And it's another great way to meet. And because it's over 50 page, people are more, maybe have children kind of going through the same things that I understand me. And it was awesome. And I've made friends for life. Like sometimes one lady drove like an hour to come and hang out with me and drive me around and show me her favorite spots. Cause you know, everybody's proud of where they live and showing it to somebody new, especially from a different country. And they just want to hang out with somebody their age. And some are married, some are singles. And, you know, they all have a great story that they told me, and we shared travel stories, of course, because they are travelers themselves, and most are working, and they took the time. They had a day off or a weekend, and they sometimes we went swimming in the rock pools down in Sydney. It's like, and they hadn't done that in 3 years, and they said it took a Canadian to come go, you know, do stuff in their backyard.
It's true. That's happened to me in Dallas, like. I mean, I've lived here about 14 years, and it took my aunt to come visit about 2 years ago for me to go do something that was, you know, pretty typical when you come visit Dallas, right? You know, and I'm like, I haven't done this, you know.
Yeah.
It's also sounds like a great site to, you know, obviously connect with people, but then that way you're not alone. You're not feeling that lonely, maybe, right? So that's
well, you have something to, you have a human contact to look forward to. Like, and they're like, oh, what do you want to see? And I'm like, I don't really know. Like, show me your favorite spots. Like, I'm okay just hanging out for coffee.
Yeah.
Just having that human contact with another, you know, woman my age or similar interests in travel. Where have you traveled and how do you travel? Like, a lot of, they're not obviously traveling full time like I am. They're at home, they have a home base, and maybe they have kids at home or adult kids, and or they're just not ready, or they have animals at home. And, you know, all of them want to get traveling more. They pretty much all say they have a trip in the wings, or they want to travel longer time. And I tell them about the trusted house sitting, and they're like, yeah, I want to, you know, that. So I've helped people kind of get on that platform and work on their profile, like give them tips on working on the profiles. And I just want to help. My thing is, I just really want to help women, you know, live their best life. And not everybody needs to be in a backpack like I am. It's just what I am able to do for my budget, right? I like the challenge. I like the exhilaration of it all. But I've also been traveling since I was a kid. And, you know, it's just been, this is probably the most natural life for me. And I kind of said that right off the hop when I started traveling, like, this is the natural life. Working in a factory, that whole, you know, the American dream or the Canadian dream it worked. It was fine. And it did me well to get to me because I did stick at a job for 30 years and I made a community and I had a family and I had great, incredible friends. And I got to experience things. I kept healthy while I was in the factory, which is important. I didn't really get messed up my physical abilities, where it did hurt a lot of people. I took care of myself, and I can be out here and still doing it in a different, but something where it feels more natural. And meeting, like, I'm making friends like all over the world, and from hostels and hostess sisters, from airplanes, from, you know, at the beach yesterday, I ran into a couple from Australia here. They were snorkeling and they were like, oh, and they wanted to know, you know, so the thing is, older people usually use Facebook and younger people use Instagram. And then there's TikTok. So I had to learn all those three platforms.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I'm teaching the kids how to use some, like, WhatsApp and, you know, how to use data. I have eSIM on my phone, and I get really techie. You have to really know your phone and how to use Google Maps and how to use booking sites, and different countries have like Ubers, and there's Grab apps, and you have to really learn them, and nobody's going to teach it for you. No one's going to help me. I have to figure it out, and that's kind of a challenge in itself, right? YouTube is one of the best things that'll help you work your apps if you don't know, or just reach out. And I've had a lot of conversations with women wanting to start this lifestyle, and I'm like, well, you need to start traveling in your backyard, and go to your next hometown and eat dinner by yourself, and book yourself. You know, if you want to do house sitting, start in your neighbor town. Go for a little holiday in Dallas. Say there's probably lots of dogs need to be walked there, and people going on holidays again because people are traveling again.
I've done trusted house sitters here locally because I want to get, like you said, you know, build my.
You got to build your profile
and stuff before I go international. Right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then once you get that, then a lot of times I don't get turned down anymore because you do get turned down. I took it personally at first. I'm like, I'm a good person. But once you get some really good reviews and you're regular, I want to stay on the regular, even though I didn't need house sits here in Perth, I was still looking in Western Australia. Yeah. And and nothing came up in my timeline, but I'm always looking for just to do it at least a few times a year. Even when I go back to Canada, I'll find a house sit, if not a repeat client. And then depends, I don't know where I'll go next year, or it might be, but it'll be someplace, and I'll probably stay in a like a higher expense country, not maybe Europe. And then go back into Asia because I'm getting there's so much I didn't get
to balance it out. Yeah, right.
To balance out the expenses.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how I kind of do it, is, you know, this is how I think this is how much I think I'm going to spend. and roughly 2,000 Canadians, what, 1,600 American, and that's Asia countries. You can easily do it on that, right? Okay. Easily you can do it. And then if you're not traveling, moving, the more you move, the more you have to pay for boats and buses. And but in Asia, it's very cheap. Here, every time I moved, it would be like $100 train ride, 100 Australian, so like 80 Australia, 80 American for 12-hour train ride or 10-hour train ride. So flights were a little bit more than that. Mm-hmm. I prefer to land overland as much as I can, fly when I have to, because I like to see the countryside and I like that challenge. I can fly when I'm older, when I don't, you know, don't want to sit on a Greyhound bus. I want that experience. I'm all about the experience. And, you know, sometimes I've sat on the Greyhound bus with young kids, 18 years old, and we get talking. Some are from, you know, I want to hear their stories. Like, did your parents, and same questions you asked me, where did you start traveling? And did your parents take you traveling? And in about 8 out of 10 times, that's the story that they tell me.
Well, you mentioned, you know, when you meet people, you like to help the women, like learning how to travel. You gave a couple great suggestions, which I've given as well, you know, like go in your backyard, that kind of stuff. Is there any other wealth of nugget, you know, a nugget of truth that you would want to share with women, you know, 50 and older that are wanting to get started with travel, besides maybe some of those? Is there anything else that they should know maybe?
You know, the best thing is don't overwhelm yourself by planning. Like, don't go too big. If you haven't done any solo traveling, it can be really intimidating. I would say listen to the podcasts. There's several podcasts, including yours. Yeah. You have some great information on there. And I share that with everybody. Just start getting that confidence. Build that confidence, the travel confidence out. Like, be able to learn your map so you can go to your nearest city that might intimidate you. Some step outside of your comfort zone and push it, because you won't know that you're growing until you push that. And you are uncomfortable every day. I wouldn't say I'm uncomfortable, but that's how you can kind of explain it. Like, go to the point where you're kind of uncomfortable.
Yes.
But then use your gut instinct. Use all the tools that you've learned up to this point in life. And we all should have some tools, good and bad. We've all made bad choices and got through it. Use those tools and push through it. And then you're going to grow. And then basically your travel confidence has to grow. And you have to do the work. You can't read a book about it.
Nope.
You can listen to podcasts. The tips are all going to be there about safety, because people ask me about safety all the time. And there's great knowledge about safety, and I can go into a whole podcast about safety.
I know. But, maybe I'll have you back on. But
but trust your instincts and push to that. You know, go to the point of being uncomfortable, but like, you know, uncomfortable in your space, because something will wonderfully happen if you trust it. Yeah. And that'll be by meeting somebody who will help you where you're not really sure. Don't act like you're intimidated by travel. Fake it until you make it. And you will be surprised how much you learn about yourself and grow. Like, even myself, I look back at my vlog when I started going to Mexico. I was like, wow, have I changed? Like, even from my starting in Australia here. Wow, how much I change. I grow every, I'm really fine too. I feel like we should be really fine tuning ourselves as women through travel. And that's how I do it. Right. Some people, you know, they do it in different ways, but I mean, the thing I'm best at, I guess I feel is traveling and fine tuning that travel. So there's stress-free, and you don't want to stress a stressful travel, holiday, vacation. You want it to be as clean as you can, and then you can really enjoy it. And that uncomfortableness that is going to happen, it's natural, it's going to happen, will be less uncomfortable each time. And I'm doing things that, I mean, I probably would have been uncomfortable with, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. I do kind of live, you know, I take a little bit more risk taker. I like the adrenaline of kind of moving, and it is really fulfilling for me.
Yeah.
To the rewards of are just aplenty, and I don't see myself ever ending. And I mean, traveling as much as I can, and then I'll slow it down, and I'll slow it. I've slowed down this year's travel. Next year, I'll slow it down even more, and then I'll go like a month in one spot. I get this, you know, I want to see something new all the time, like the wanderlust, right? It's your feet that they call it, right? And I was like, oh, that'll never change. I need to move. Like, I'm bored of this. So I have to slow that feeling down. And that's probably one of my biggest negatives, just personally. It's like, oh, you know, when I was living out in BC in British Columbia, I was looking at, you know, I was laying in bed looking at a beautiful scenery, a mountain and a water. And I was like, beautiful.
Yeah.
But that'll never change. It'll be there. If I want to live here, it will be there. It will never change the rest of my life. I need to go. And that's when I decided to go to Mexico. It's like, I need to see new, it's beautiful. And don't get me wrong. We have beautiful places that I've lived in, but there's the world is waiting. Yeah. And that I want to see it, before my body, because it's your body that has to take you there. And I mean, I met a lady from Hosta Sister. She was 76 years old. She is 76 years old, and she's still traveling. I think she's in Africa right now, and she stays in hostels. Yeah. She doesn't do. And that's she's my inspiration.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, I want to be able to still do that in my 70s. Right. And you know, I got a lot of world. There's a lot of world to see.
But it sounds like you really found who you are. Like you have.
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't like, it doesn't sound like you'll ever want to go back to that conventional life. Right. Yeah.
No,
and not everybody's like that, but you know, I think we all can benefit from the curiosity of travel and learn about ourselves, like you said.
Yeah, definitely.
So
I don't think that this lifestyle is not for everybody.
For everybody, yeah.
But if I can help somebody do a bit of it, like even a 1 week holiday, a 1 week vacation, solo travel, and go get a taste of it, of their, because they're really tasting what their own self can do, and they'll be so proud of themselves, you know. And I call it travel training. You know, I try to help, do some travel training, learn how to, start small. Don't bite off more than you can chew. And there's group trips that women can go on. And that's another way. And you're going alone, solo, but you're not.
But you're joining other people. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always recommend that. It's like if you're afraid to go along, that's a great way to start.
And there's I've noticed that there's a lot of travel groups like that coming up, and I don't know if it's the algorithms that social medias are giving me, but there's a lot of travel groups, Facebook groups. Use all the tools you can, social medias, Hosta Sisters, solo, whatever. If you're a solo traveler, sometimes it's just the husband. They're not single. The husbands don't. They want to do something different.
Right.
And I've met a lot of ladies that, you know, the husbands go ski and they're down here traveling in Asia or Australia, and they take 3 months and they do that. I think it's healthy for marriages too.
Yeah,
you know,
I think so too.
And if they can do that, and they get to be themselves. You really find out who you are when you're spending that much time alone. So even a 1 week holiday or a 2 week holiday,
you do
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it doesn't have to be expensive is what I'm saying. Like you could do part of your trip, even 2 or 3 days with a group and sign up for a group, and then, or do walking tours. Like I've met ladies, I go into a city, boom, I go to an information desk. I sign up for Guru Walks, or I find some walking tours. I explore the city, get my bearings. I meet other people on those tours and sometimes you can, the next day you go for dinner with them. They're traveling too. Like you just kind of have to, they're right in front of you. Like those opportunities are right in front of you. You just have to like walk up the meetups is another way to meet people. I met a lady in an outdoor hiking group in Sydney, and we met, in Sydney, and her and I still talk to this day, and she's still working, but she's doing a trip to Africa, and I've never been to Africa. So she's going to teach me, tell me about her plans. And
awesome.
I mean, this is how the world kind of works is information sharing, being supportive. The community, is so supportive, and there's so many women out here traveling. It's kind of, I think, like a silent movement happening.
Yes,
because it's like, wow. And I've met a couple other ladies who, my age, who did that same thing as me, sold mm-hmm. everything and living in a suitcase or backpack. Like, I'm doing the backpack.
Yeah.
Everybody's at different budgets. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. We're having the same experiences. And
You talked about resources. And I know you have some resources, right? That where people can, you mentioned you have a vlog.
I just use the social medias. So I don't have, I don't have a written website blog, though I should. It just takes a lot of
Sounds
time
like
and I'm traveling with my phone, not my laptop this year. So I'm trying to, so I do have Instagram and my Facebook, and I do have YouTube that my New Year's resolution was to do it more regularly and do some of these, travel training kind of episodes of how I plan a trip, how I expense a trip, how I can find it cheaper, how I travel, basically.
Right. Yeah.
And not so much about showcasing where I'm at, because everybody can see at YouTube on Australia. Mm-hmm. I can talk about how I can do things cheaper in Australia, just because there is a lot of people that are looking for budget.
Yes.
And myself included, I'm the guinea pig.
Yeah.
And I don't mind, you know, people tapping in, asking me, and I will talk for people for, if they reach out to me, like, I think it's really important to share the message and share my experience. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know,
I love it.
Thank you for inviting me onto your podcast.
Well, because that's what it's about. And even my podcast is about, you know, providing resources for women so they can get out there and feel more confident doing some solo travel. And your experience is a whole different, you know, depth of what is possible. So I love it. And if it's okay, in the show notes, maybe I can leave some of those social handles if they want to follow you. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay. For sure. I'll send you my my YouTube as well. And I plan to do more. The thing when you do solo traveling, you try to keep up to the social content. I try to put content out, sometimes entertaining, sometimes educational.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do talk about the good, bad, and the ugly.
Good.
Right.
Good.
Because there has been times where I've been just like totally depleted, or mm-hmm. like when my dad and my son were in the hospital, I talked about that and what I was going through as a person. I also need to talk to somebody, even though there's nobody talking back to me. I need to still share it.
Yes.
Because I use it as my kind of personal journal. As well, I can look back mm-hmm. and I see, you know, how I know exactly how I felt at that time. So I do like to show, it's not, I don't use filters. It's just me. And sometimes my makeup is running.
I love it.
I just feel like I need to say something, and I just pull the camera out and put it in my face. And because those moments kind of can come and go because you get distracted really easily by something else.
Yeah.
But I think it's important that, I'm living the life. People say you're living the life. Yeah. It takes a lot of work to live the life, and the more organized, the stress free. And that takes through a lot of just the personal growth and stepping outside of your comfort zone and pushing your limits and, do it in baby steps. Baby steps is the way, is, you know, the biggest thing that I could say. And then before long, you know, people could be 3 months traveling and they could move three different spots in Italy, say, in house sitting and on a very, very small budget and meeting a community that will also look after them. Because in our Western world, we have less and less of that, people looking after each other, especially since the pandemic. People are more, you know, isolated and staying isolated, where some of these cultures are still, especially third world countries, second world countries, Asia and Mexico and South America, if they trust you, they will bring you in. They will, like, they're not going to exploit you, because you have to worry about that too, but they're going to care for, if you care for them, they'll care for you.
Yeah.
It's kind of how I feel. There's good people out there.
Good. Well, this has been so amazing. I mean, you have brought such a depth and wealth of information to, you know, solo travel women, you know, giving you know, just the nitty gritty and everything. So I love our time, and I may even bring you back, but this
yeah,
is
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, no,
and
no
before
problem.
We run out of Zoom time though, because we only,
all right.
I just wanted to thank you and just, you know, if it keeps recording, great. I just want to hear, where is your next place that you plan to go? Do you have it planned?
Yes, I am heading to Indonesia on the 3rd of March. Yeah, so I was there last year. I did Indonesia for 6 weeks, but like Bali, because you got to do Bali.
Yeah.
And then I went to and I had heard about this island, Gili. So I'm like, oh, I'll go to Gili. A lot of times it's just people recommending, oh, you should go to Gili. So I was doing the Camino, and somebody says, oh, are you going to Indonesia? Like I didn't even really know much about Indonesia, like Bali and Jakarta, that's all I really knew. And then as I was traveling, I got closer, people were giving me more tips. So I went to Gili's, Lombok, and I did a boat. So something else from information sharing, I was in Kuala Lumpur at a hostel. A young person says, oh, dude, the Komodo Island boat trip. And I'm like, oh, what's that? What's the Komodo Islands? And I did this amazing boat trip. It was budget. It was backpack.
Okay,
you know, we're sleeping on this little foam thing, but under, you know, it was a 3-night trip to a florist, Le Bon Boiseau, which I'd never heard of before. It's a beautiful, all these gumdrop islands all around the Komodo Islands. Great dive. So I plan to go diving there. I was there last year. I didn't do diving, but I made some friends. It's a musical island. They call it Flores is the Music Island, or Singing Island or something. And they all play music. And I love music, especially when I'm solo traveling. I'll go to music and I don't feel alone. And I made some friends there, some locals that are friends, and I'm going back. I've stayed in contact with them for a year now, and I'm going back. And when I go to Bali, I have a friend there I met last year she's from Vancouver, and we met in Langkawi, and she's there right now. We're going to meet up and travel in Bali a bit together, and then she's going to go to Le Bon Boiseau with me. And that she's actually, her husband goes up to Whistler skiing, and she goes down here to the island. She's 69 years old. She swims. She's a triathlete, swimming every day.
Awesome.
So she's good really shape. Good motivator for me, right? Because she's so active. She's lots of fun.
Yes.
Eats well. I mean, sometimes you need somebody to like keep you on your straight and narrow. And it's like, hey, Julie, let's go to yoga. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh, well, I gotta sleep in today. Or am I going to do this beach? Well, no, you have somebody to do it with. And that's what I don't have. I have to motivate myself. And sometimes you can be a little slack on that when you don't have, you know, it's better for me if I do. I know that. But it's like, oh, I go through these spurts of workout programs, and I have an exercise band I brought with me. I haven't used it all that much, not on a regular. But I think it's like all of that is staying healthy, keeping your balance, your core, because I feel it. You feel it. Like I didn't travel for 6 months when I was traveling back in Canada. I visited my friends and I was traveling around Canada and in my car, you know, I wasn't doing as much activity. Yeah. I load that, you know, 10 kg bag in my back, and it's, even though it's pretty light, it's just, you know, I feel it in my core. I need to do more sit-ups in my back. Yeah. But overall, I'm like, my body is in good shape, and I feel the best because I walk. You know, I walk.
You're moving
walk.
And you're being active. Yeah. Exactly.
I need food. I got to walk to the grocery store. That should be like two, you know, a mile and a half. And then I got to carry the bags back, so I can't buy too much. So you really, and that's really the simplistic lifestyle. And minimalistic lifestyle is really what I'm living.
Yeah.
And I don't buy lots of, you know, lotions. I buy lotions, but smaller, because I like to still be girly. Like I do have a dry, I don't want to be stinky. And I do have a little bit of makeup, but I don't need all of that. I do have a dress, like sometimes, you know, I bought it last year in Bali, and sometimes I want to be girly. I don't get a lot of opportunities to dress up, but because I'm mostly in active wear and in bed by 9. That's what
I love it. Well, it sounds like I might have to have you back after you go to Indonesia again and
get
some more experience. All right.
Well, Julie and I could have talked for hours, and I will likely need to bring her back after some of her other adventures to share. But I will also include her information in the show notes if you want to follow her adventures on your own. She does post some things on her Facebook and Instagram, some true life situations in her travels. I will say there's some nuggets of information that I was able to gather from our conversation just to highlight them. Number one, this nomadic travel lifestyle is not for everyone, although Julie has found it to be hers. Number two, she has learned to live with less, and I find that when you get into the travel world of yourself, you will learn to live with less, not only in traveling, but even back at home. Number three, hostels and house sits are a great way to cheaply save on accommodations. Number four, if you don't learn something new every day or even something new about yourself, you tend to age quicker. So we need to constantly be learning. And kind of the same thing with point number five, stay active and healthy so you can freely travel and see the world. Number six, when Julie gets lonely, she tends to use her phone to call or text friends, listen to podcasts, music, or go into nature, which you could also do if you find yourself in that same place. Number seven, we talked about how intuition can often lead you and you just need to trust and follow it. And finally, number eight, build your travel confidence by doing it, right? You can't just read about it. And you need to push past the point of being in your comfort zone because you will get uncomfortable as you travel solo. Well, hope you enjoyed our conversation and maybe we'll get Julie to come back soon. Hey, sister travelers, did this podcast inspire and encourage you or move you to get out there and travel? Wonderful. There are three ways you can thank me. First one is leave a written review for the show on Apple Podcast. Two, share the show with your sister travelers, your friends, your family. And three, subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And thank you again for listening to the show. Sisters, be fearless, take the leap, and get out there and have an adventure.